Brethren, tomorrow is a national recognized holiday in this country called Mother's Day. I'd like to start out by giving you a short history of Mother's Day and how it came about in the United States of America. The modern holiday of Mother's Day was first celebrated in 1908 when Anna Jarvis held a memorial for her mother at St. Andrew's Methodist Church in Grafton, West Virginia. St. Andrew's Methodist Church now holds the International Mother's Day Shrine. It's the Cooperstown of Mother's Day, I guess. Her campaign to make Mother's Day a recognized holiday in the United States began in 1905, the year her mother, Ann Reeves Jarvis, died. Ann Jarvis had been a peace activist who cared for wounded soldiers on both sides of the American Civil War and created Mother's Day work clubs to address public health issues. Anna Jarvis wanted to honor her mother by continuing the work she started and to set aside a day to honor all mothers because she believed a mother is the person who has done more for you than anyone else in the world. Now, we might take a little exception to that. We might say that God the Father and Jesus Christ did the most for us of anybody in the world, but certainly our physical mothers would have to come in a very close third. Continuing on, in 1908, the Congress, U.S. Congress, rejected a proposal to make Mother's Day an official holiday, joking they would have to proclaim a Mother-in-Law's Day as well. However, owing to the efforts of Anna Jarvis, by 1911, all the U.S. states observed the holiday, with some of them officially recognizing Mother's Day as a local holiday, the first being in West Virginia, Jarvis's home state, in 1910. Finally, in 1914, the President Woodrow Wilson signed a proclamation designating Mother's Day be observed on the second Sunday in May as a national holiday to honor mothers. Brother, unless you are hatched or you were grown in a test tube, you have had or have a mother. I won't ask you to turn there, but what does the fifth commandment say in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12? It says, honor your mother and your father, that your days may be long upon the land. This is a commandment. It's not a suggestion. Not one of the 10 suggestions, but one of the 10 commandments. No amount of money, no number of teachers in schools, no amount of free college can bring about a peaceful and flourishing society. Only people living God's way with good mothers and good fathers raising children, honoring their parents, can a society survive and thrive. In this day and age, Satan the devil has destroyed the family, perverted the minds of so many that we can't even come to a consensus in this country about what a family should or is, or what the role of a mother is or should be. Brethren, God uses physical creation to show us concepts and principles. So if God has given us the physical example of a physical mother, which points to us and gives us a physical representation of something spiritual, who is our spiritual mother? Pop quiz. I spent better part of 10 years of my life and spent a lot of money going to undergraduate school, dental school, and a lot of the professors and the teachers that I had like to give pop quizzes. So my pop quiz to you this morning is, if you had to come up with one scripture that pointed to or showed who our spiritual mother is, what scripture would you turn to? Exactly where in the Bible does it say our spiritual mother is? It's kind of a trick question, because unlike the Ten Commandments, where you go to Exodus 20 and commandment number one is listed, commandment number two is listed, all the way through the Ten Commandments, there's a listing there. It's very straightforward. we have to kind of connect the dots a little bit. We have to play the connect the dot game in order to really come up with proof of who our spiritual mother is. But if you would, turn to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 22. And Paul uses an analogy. He uses an analogy of two women that were wives of Abraham, and those two women had two sons. Verse 22. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman, and in today's modern vernacular, it would be sort of like an indentured servant, not slavery like we experience in this country, but an indentured servant. And so in verse 22, Paul begins to draw a comparison and a distinction here, and eventually to make the point that our church, the called out ones, the ecclesia, is our spiritual mother. God had promised Abraham children. He told Abraham that he would be the father of many nations. And so Abraham went about his business to start that process and started having children with Haggai, or a child with Haggai. You could might say the spirit of Saul was alive and well even before Saul came along many, many years later. He decided that if he was going to be the father of many nations, he better get down to business and he better start having some children to fulfill that prophecy and that what God had told him. Because Sarah was old and she supposedly couldn't even have children. So verse 23, but he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh. And he, meaning Isaac, of the free woman through promise. So again, Paul's showing a distinction between Ishmael, who was born by Haggai, a bondwoman, and Isaac, who was born because of a special miracle from God to Sarah, the free woman. Dropping down to verse 24 next. Which things are symbolic? For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. So the two covenants, the old covenant representing Hagar and Ishmael, the son, and the new covenant representing Sarah and the free woman, Isaac. Verse 25, for this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and corresponds to Jerusalem, which is now and is in bondage with her children. So brethren, this particular old Jerusalem represents God's old covenant system through ceremonial law and human efforts to get rid of sin through physical sacrifice and human rituals. No matter what the physical machinations of the ancient Israelites, whatever rituals they went through, they could never really be free from sin. But here's where we see who the real mother of us all is now. Verse 26, but the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. So Sarah, representing Jerusalem from above and the new covenant, and Isaac, her son, is a representation that we can actually be free from sin through the direct blessing and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So finally, after that four-verse analogy Paul goes through, he gives us the all-important final dot to connect that the Jerusalem of above is spiritual and part of the new covenant, which is God's church today, the ecclesia, the called out ones. And Paul calls that new covenant church in the very last part of verse number 26, the mother of us all. And just as we established in Galatians 4, chapter 26, the church is our spiritual mother, and God instructs us to come, see, honor, and be with our spiritual mother each week. And not only each week, but on the 7 annual holy days as well. We as individuals, the ecclesia, should also think about what spiritual rose that we can bring every weekly Sabbath or every annual Holy Sabbath day to our spiritual mother? What spiritual rose can we or each of us as individuals bring? And you might ask yourself, well, what's a spiritual rose? What does that mean? What is that all about? How can I bring a spiritual rose? Well, I'll give you one idea. If you would, turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. Paul writing here says, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he promised, for he who promised is faithful. I'll read that again. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful, meaning God's promises are faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but, and here's the spiritual rose, exhorting, not extorting, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day, what's the day? The day of Jesus Christ's return approaching. So, brethren, the spiritual rose that you have the opportunity to bring each and every Sabbath, weekly Sabbath, and so all the annual holy days to your spiritual mother is that of exhortation. So really, what does the word exhortation mean? What does it mean to exhort one another? Merriam-Webster defines the word to exhort to mean to urge strongly, particularly to encourage someone to do the right thing. To urge strongly, or in particular, to encourage someone to do the right thing. So every time you come to the weekly Sabbath or to God's annual holy day, you have the opportunity to bring the spiritual rose of encouragement to the other members of the family and to the spiritual mother, the ecclesia. And if we're not here each week, or if we're not for some reason at the holy days, now, I'm not condemning anybody, I'm just saying that if it's our regular habit of not coming, most everyone here, it's a regular habit, and sometimes people miss for whatever reason, so that's understandable. But if we're making the habit of not coming with our spiritual rose every week, we're kind of not honoring our spiritual mother, but rather we're dishonoring our spiritual mother. In Corinthians 9, Paul describes the Christian life as a race, the Christian life being like a spiritual race. Now, this is not fake news, but in 1984, my father, who we term endearingly Papa, ran a marathon in Montreal. Again, that's not fake news. I was there. I saw it. So you have a firsthand. Well, I saw the beginning and I saw the end. I didn't see much in the middle. I'm sure he'll elaborate on that now. But all along the race route in Montreal, the citizens of the city of Montreal lined the race route. They lined the streets, 3 and 4 people deep. And they were clapping, and they were cheering, and they were chanting in French, cheering the runners on and encouraging, exhorting them to finish the race. And when you're in a 26-mile race, you need some exhortation. You need some encouragement. You often want to stop running. You want to start walking. Or you may even want to quit altogether. And with a little bit of encouragement, a little bit of encouragement can go a long way to help someone finish that race. Brethren, tomorrow this nation will recognize and set aside one day out of 365 days to honor our physical mothers. Something which we should be doing if we are to obey the fifth commandment each and every day. But just as importantly, we need to be going about honoring our spiritual mother as well and bringing a spiritual rose to the weekly Sabbath, to God's annual holy days, that spiritual rose of encouragement.